tell you what's blooming in here is a deeper understanding that we worship an almighty God. Did you hear what we just sang? I mean, did you really hear what we just sang? Sometimes I wonder, do we get so used to hearing song that we never hear what we sing? You know, we get so used to hearing rhythm that we never forget what rhythm is trying to leap out of these songs and get into our heart. Love never fails. I mean, love never fails. Now, I know some of y'all, when I say that, you say, wait a minute, Pastor Steve. Oh, how can you say love never fails when I've got this and that, and I know so-and-so and such has been married for 57 years, they bailing out. How can you say love never fails? I can still say love never fails. But you know what? The challenge today, how many of you all will be open to allowing God's love to get a hold of you? Now, a lot of us, if you are a country music person, I like country music. Elizabeth doesn't like it, so I like it even more when she's with me to play it for, to show her the culture. Back in the old days, when even music was more country than it is today, there was a group out called Alabama. They had this phrase in a song. Yeah, some of y'all like it. They had this phrase in the song, and it stuck with me all my life because I think this is what happens to a lot of us in a lot of things. What I thought was love turned to lust. And boy, we battle those thin lines, don't we? And today we review for just a moment, because I'm going to tell you, go to Hosea. I'm preaching out of Hosea. Do y'all know anything about Hosea? Now, this is a tough story. It's the kind of story we don't put up on the flannel board. For many of us that are very good and polite church-going folk, we even have wonder why in the world would God put this story in his book. And this actually happened. And I know those of you that know about Hosea, every one of y'all are going to go, well, I'm sure the character of Hosea represents me. I'm going to challenge you today. Most of us are not Hosea. Most of us are Gomer. In fact, if we really look deeply into the Word of God, it tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all turned away from what we were supposed to be in really the love relationship we were supposed to have. And we've acted a whole lot more like Gomer than we have Hosea. But Hosea today is going to show us how God loves us, because guess what? Love does always, always trust. Talked about that last week, didn't we? And love always protects, doesn't it? Love does. Now watch this. Lust signs a contract. You notice that? Lust says, if you are, then I'll be. But love says, here I am. But lust says, if you are, or if you do, or if you have, then I'll be. But love says, I am here. Lust, it will be there if the conditions are right. Love says, I am here. Trust says, I wish these things would go on. Love says, my hope is here. How many of y'all glad to know that there is hope in this world? There is hope in this world. Now, I just want you to realize this. I hope that you will embrace this. I hope you will examine this. It needs to be deeply considered. Are you convinced by now that we cannot create hope on our own? How many of y'all are that far along? Please at least nod your head and say, I've been making some observations, and it doesn't look like we're doing well with hope on our own. Because here's the problem. The hope that we create cannot change. The hope that we create cannot change. You know, therefore, a few years back, we were hearing about hope and change. Here's the only problem. We can't make that happen. People can't make that happen. Because you see, hope is God and change is in Him. Hope is not change in us. And that's where I knew that was going to go bust for the first place, because guess what? If you hope in anything other than Jesus Christ, what are you going to find? Come on, talk to me a minute. It's a real lesson today. If you hope in anything else other than Jesus Christ, what's at the end of that string? Hell, ultimately, at the end of that string, yes, because really, what is hell? It is no hope. It is no possibility. It's a state of no change. But really, how many of you understand there is severe disappointment when you expect a human being to be God? I mean, even your mama, if you expect your mama to be God, your sweet, loving, even godly mama with a big old King James Bible, she's going to disappoint you because she's not who. A mama can love on you, but she can't change you. Have you noticed that? If that's the truth, there would be very little sin in the world. Because every mama prays that their children be what? Be all right, be safe, be right, don't do stupid things. And guess what? We children of those great godly mamas, we go out and do what? Stupid things, because mama can't be God. Daddy can't be God. A system can't be God. If you put your hope in Hillview Heights Church, guess what? You're going to be disappointed. I promise you that Pastor Jamie's going to do something to tick you off before it's over with. See what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, or Jamie, if you put your hope in Wednesday night service, what's going to happen? It's not going to work. You put your hope on three services in Sunday morning. Andrew, if you put your hope in a youth ministry with youth pastors that got a beard and cool hair, will that change? No, because watch this. The best we can do, remember this, Pastor Mark, the best we can do is broadcast a possibility. Just go ahead and tell your neighbor, the best I can do is tell you about it. Go ahead and make that confession. The best I can do is tell you about it. Now, Teresa and Scott, you all are embarking on a big moment this weekend, aren't you? Your little one is no longer a high school student, but now she's a young college woman. And this weekend, we got many parents that their children are headed to college. Merle, you so old, you miles past this event. What do you think? But you remember. Go back to your memory, Merle. Lisa, help him. And there you are with that child that's been with you for 18, 19 years, and they're fixing to go where? They're fixing to go to college. And how many of y'all got hopeful wishes of all they would become? I mean, when I dropped Blake off to college, I was thankful that he was made it there, but I was as nervous as I could be. Because I remember how a young man conducted himself the first semester of college. I had memories of how my father had told me what was going to happen. But at that age, I was 19 years old. And when I was 19, the spirit of knowledge had come upon me. And I knew all things. And I remember some of the decisions I made at 19, my first semester in college. And so instead of this moment being one of great hope in my life, as that old truck pulled away from Morehead State University, I went very silent because I knew of all the things that could happen. A few weeks later, Elizabeth looks at me and she goes, "What do you think Blake's doing tonight?" I said, "Well, he's probably not doing anything that I didn't do, honey, at the same time." Elizabeth goes, "You have brought me no comfort and no hope." I said, "What you need to pray, Elizabeth, is none of my DNA is taking activation at this moment of time." Why was I hopeless? Because here's the thing, my life can't create hope in another human being. See, I want you to get there. Only God can restore. Now, let me give you the sketch of Hosea. Hosea gets an assignment that I can't imagine. I mean, I just can't imagine this assignment. But this is an assignment, Bob, and I got to be legitimate. I guess I should have rated the sermon today, TV 14, okay? But this is the assignment, and I'm sorry for some of you all who believe the Bible is Disney. It's really not. You ought to read it one time, cover to cover. There's very dynamic, drooling, grueling, messy stories in the Bible because really, if you break the Bible down, here's one of its main themes. We're a mess and God will straighten us up. That's through Genesis to Revelation. We're a mess and God calls in to straighten us up. Now, Gomer, she is a lady of the evening. Y'all got my drift. She likes to sell herself. Let me help you. What she does, she sells herself for profit. Now, before you get too judgmental on Gomer, I'm probably looking at a bunch of sellouts right here. I guarantee you every one of us have sold out to our way instead of God's way in our lives. Anybody, I mean, just before we get too puffed up and say, oh, I'd never do that. I can't believe somebody would do that. I can't. People act like that all day, especially in church. I've been a pastor now for 30 years. What's this? I mean, this week we've talked about, you know, this month we're talking about the power of God's love in our life, loyalty. How much you see that, Mark, in the church? Loyalty and commitment. In American church today, you know what I see? Fling. Everybody wants to have a fling. Everybody's having a fling. I told a group of young pastors 2 weeks ago I was working with, I said, I'm so tired of going through all y'all's flings. I said, God got here long before you existed. God got here long before your books were written. And God is consistent, and he didn't call us to a fling. He called us to a marriage. Now, y'all listen to me. It's one of the reasons we have so many divorces. It's not about pleasing each other. It's about pleasing God. And when we please God, we come together. We come together. And Hosea, guess what? He married Gomer. That's what God told him to do. He said, you know, I mean, here's God. Hey, Hosea, got a project for you. Andrew, how would you like this to be your assignment? You come into my office and I say, Andrew, I know it's probably going to bother your daddy. He's been a friend of mine. This is going to like cause a nightmare to your mama. But I got this young lady named Gomer. She's been working down in Nashville. And she's been working over there at a little establishment. She's a dancer. And she dances and then she sells personal services on the side. I'm making this real politically correct. And she is, I have been instructed by God to tell you that's your wife. Hosea had to marry a prostitute. No, hold on. It was God's will that Hosea married a prostitute. Man, that just blows some of that Disney theology away, doesn't it? That God only loves good people. He loves Gomer. You know why? Because love protects, love trusts, and love what? Hopes. Now, I know a lot of you good folks. I used to do this all the time. Reverend Britt, I you've had to preach this before, hadn't you, Reverend Britt? With this whole Hosea, and most of us think what? We look at Hosea and what are we fixing to say? David, you've heard this in Sunday school before. Well, I know what it's like to reach out and help someone that's gone astray. Merlin, most of us are not Hosea. Oh, Barry, we'd like to be. We think, wow, I'm like Hosea. God's called me to do difficult. No, most of us are like Gomer. How many of y'all have run away over and over, or as the hymn goes, or and or again, you've run away from what God's instructed you to do? You've sold out to your moment instead of God's purpose. I know I have. I've had more than one of those experiences. How many of y'all have had more than one of those experiences? Well, let me tell you what goes on. I'm going to give you a synopsis of the first two chapters. Hosea marries Gomer. That's God's instruction, that he would be married to a prostitute. And I want to tell you something. I hope that you realize this. God loves us so much. God is willing to reconcile, restore, and make right where you and I have been a prostitute. He'll make that right. Now, I don't know about you. That's a love beyond my understanding. But, I mean, we look at the stories we looked at. God will allow a 90-year-old woman to get pregnant. God will instruct a king's son to go against the king's son so that God's purpose will go through. This is a different way of love, isn't it? Most of y'all want me to preach love, that it's a big Hallmark feeling, and we're just going to hug each other and, you know, up in the magic balloon and have the wind vibe, and it's all love, and it kind of looks like a wedding celebration. We've been doing a lot of weddings this year, and I thank God. I want to thank you all for doing weddings. Becca and Jonathan, thank you all for being married, getting ready to be married, okay? Thank you all for being married and not living together. But and no offense here, but let me tell you what. Wedding ceremonies are a con job. aren't they? Everybody gets dressed up. Everybody's on their best behavior. That's why they only last 30 minutes. Because marriages aren't like wedding ceremonies, are they? So I guarantee you, I ain't going to wake up in the morning with a tux on. You know? I mean, I was well behaved at least for an hour and a half during our wedding ceremony. Wasn't it, honey? Now, it wore off when it got to pictures time because her mother started aggravating me, and I got upset even on the day I was married. I was like, let's go. Her mother was taking pictures of relatives I've never seen since. I mean, they came out. He said, well, these people are kin to me. I said, Lord have mercy. I'm glad I already married you. Let's go. I didn't get married to see your kinfolk. I got married to go to Nashville. Back then, we were cheap. We gave you some mints, shook your hand and said, thank you for being here. We're gone. You know, it wasn't as festive, but guess what? Marriage ain't about a festivity. That's a celebration. It's about the long haul of living life with each other. It's about staying with each other no matter what. This is going to blow you away. We find hope in God's love because guess what? God's love goes no matter what. You need to write that down. God's love goes no matter what. Our love goes matter. We look at the matter. Don't we? We look at the matter. Come on, let's be honest. We look at the matter. We size it up. Are they worth this? How many times? Oh, how many of y'all have heard this when it comes to reconciliation? Well, how many times they done that? What do y'all think? There's like sin points? But there's people that think like that.
Well, I'll tell you what now. I mean, it ain't like they did it just once. They've done it like a bunch.
Well, what? So there's like, no, if you do it once, it's what? It's the same as. Sometimes we do it a bunch because what? We don't have any hope. And we think, I'm stuck here. Here's what I want you to know. You never have to be stuck in disobedience. God's hope is this. God is sufficient enough. His grace is enough to get me no matter how crazy I get. How many of y'all got a God like that? I do. That's why Hillview's like it is, folks. Listen, we drive religious people nuttily out of their mind. They still say this about this church, and praise God, may they continue on. I heard it this week.
Well, one thing I'm not sure about Hillview is, you know, we believe there's an exact elect believing community, and Hillview just lets everybody in.
That was interesting. I was studying Hosea, and I said, y'all might want to read Hosea. Jesus wrote that. You might really want to see the depths of God's love, that God does not live up to your standard, nor does he measure human beings by your interpretation. What he created, he can redeem. Well, now, do you think it's important that we believe God created us? Yes. I do not believe that you evolved out of a scientific process. I believe that a personal, almighty God created men and women. What do you think about that? And here's why I believe that he needs to do that, because Anna, if he created it, he can redeem it. He didn't evolve it. He what? Created it. And that means he can do what? Recreate it. Let me get to Hosea 3. It's amazing. The Lord said to me, after he marries Gomer, and Gomer, guess what she does? Marriage goes along for a while, and Gomer goes back to her old ways, her old habits. How many of y'all have ever been married for a while and just some good things, and then you step back one time in that old habit? How many of y'all have ever quit something? We're in Kentucky. How many of y'all have ever quit, like, maybe? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. Just think. It's just thought, okay? A lot of people in Kentucky have to quit smoking cigarettes. Huh? Have you seen people quit smoking cigarettes? Well, guess what? I got friends that quit smoking cigarettes. I had to quit smoking cigarettes at the time. And you know what? How many of y'all, you're like, wow, man, I've been quit for 2 years. And you had an event and you said, you know what? I'm just going to have one for old times. How many of y'all have ever just had one for old times? And you step back what? See, I know this about myself right now. If I was to have one Marlboro out of the red crush proof box, because I like that box. I mean, back in the day when things were cool, you know, put that box right here in your pocket.
It's the look. It's the whole process. I still, you know, had to, and I was good at it. I could pull, flip, boom. Chuck, I could even hold no hands and work. Draw, blow. There's all kinds of tricks you can do with cigarettes. Please do not smoke them. Okay, they're not healthy for you, all right? Do you know what I know? If I went back and had one just for old time's sake, guess what's going to happen to me? I'm going to have to pause during a sermon and say, y'all, excuse me just a minute. I need to go outside, and I'll be back here in just a moment. Why? What do I know? If once, see, we got all kinds of mistresses. There's not just Hosea just hadn't been a prostitute sexually. There's all kinds of things we go back to find love in that do not bring us love. You see, a prostitute can never bring love because he or she is always selling and never gives. See, a cigarette won't bring love because you got to buy it. A drink will never bring love because you got what? Buy it.
He said, well, when I smoke dope, I feel love.
You got to buy it. There's still this, watch this. This is a great truth. Love is definitely more than a feeling according to God. So Gomer wanders off, and then the Lord says, Hosea 3:1, get this. The Lord says to me, go show your love to your wife again. That is absolutely mind-boggling. Now note what he said. Go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Pastor Jamie, I don't know about you, but to me, that verse is the hope of the world. If you'll humor me for just a moment, praise God, there is hope in American culture. Why? I mean, I wish I could tell y'all that we're a God-fearing nation and the red, white, and blue and Yankee Doodle Dandy and we'll stand up and we're all patriotic and we've loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, mind, and soul and body. Folks, you know that's a lie. You know intuitively in your soul, no matter what anybody else says, we've sold out in this nation to many mistresses, true or false. And guess what? Now we've sold out long enough, we're getting the consequences of being a whore. Can I just put it where it stings? You see, this nation that God founded with godly principles, she was to be a part of the bride. We do this in the church. We take the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ and we turn her into a prostitute. Every time you see the preacher in any church of the Lord Jesus Christ shaking the folk down for money, Gomer has arrived. Every time you see a church not standing up for what is right, but selling out the gospel so they can draw a crowd, Gomer has arrived. Every time you are part of a religious body that talks more about those who lead it than those who saved it, you have entered into a Gomer mentality. Does that make sense? There is one place that love will stay consistent. It is in Jesus Christ, and everything else becomes a mistress. And here's the problem about mistresses. They only last for a little while. And when you get caught with them, it's never good. Have y'all ever heard a great news story on a mistress being discovered? Me either. Have you, Gary? We've never told one of the famous politicians, if they got discovered with a mistress, we've never said, we're so proud of them. Their mistress is so beautiful and so wonderful, and they've done such a good job being unfaithful to their wife. Have you all ever heard that story? What's the problem with a mistress? There's great shame. Here's the problem with a mistress. She's an illusion. So if any of you men are tempted to get a mistress, you better hold on. Just go take your wife somewhere where she doesn't have to do all of her regular stuff and you'll have your mistress. How many of you men have found that your wife is much more engaging with you a few hours away from home in a hotel somewhere than she is at the house? In fact, this was so amazing to me. One time I had a business plan. I said, I'm just going to make some scented candles out of hotel chain scents, hoping that would enhance people's marriages. She said, honey, that has nothing to do with it. Is that you're not in your everyday. Hold on, that's what a mistress does. She takes you away from your responsibility, lets you participate in irresponsibility, and tells you somehow there's going to be a blessing that comes out of that. And you end up in a curse. I want you to see the depth of God's love. God's love is not fantasy, it is fact. And that's why he said, do this. He said, Hosea, go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves Israel. Though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes.
All right, I know what your mind's wondering right now. What is everybody thinking about right now? What about the raisin cakes? Well, you know what? Since I pastored Hillview long enough, I knew where everybody's mind would go. I want you to know what the raisin cakes are. It was believed in these raisins, and please, men, do not go out to Kroger or Houchins or IGA and buy, you know, a case of Little Debbie raisin cakes, okay? I'm not sure this works, but in this ancient time, it was believed that the raisin cakes enhanced one's libido. So if you will, ancient Viagra was found in raisin cakes. Now, I know there's going to be a run in Bowling Green today on raisin cakes. Jack, if you got some at the house, you be careful with them, all right? But watch, here's what she's done. Let's really look what she's done there. She's turned to other gods. Hold on, check this out. Because here's what's amazing to me. Here's what absolutely blows what little mind I have. That I am reading from the First Testament, an ancient text. I'm reading the journey of Israel as a country. Okay, Joanne, I'm way back here in history. And I might as well be right now on the national news. I might as well be on ABC. Can you imagine me being on ABC? Interview me, Diane Sawyers. I'm a Kentucky boy. You have forgotten your Barron County roots. Roots. Look at here. We have turned to many other things to find our solutions. We're fixing to enter a political season, and you're going to hear all kinds of political jive. That's all it is, political jive. Everybody trying to tell you that they're going to fix it, and I just want you to know what your pastor knows. Nobody's going to fix it but God. And I haven't heard anybody. Now, listen to it. You want to see somebody that had to be a politician is Hosea. How would you like to stand before Israel and say, let me tell you what's the matter with your nation? You just like my wife. You a prostitute. You go chasing after other gods, and you always wanting another raisin cake. You addicted to other gods and sensuality. Pastor Mark, what does that sound like? The United States of America. Now, the United States of America, standing alone by itself, will prostitute itself into devastation. We're on our way. And don't be going, well, it's so-and-so's fault and such fault. No, it's not. It's all of our faults. You see, all we hear about now is United States of America. We've left out this phrase, one nation under God. In fact, we even want to take that out. Why? Now, I'm going to tell you why. You're right, Gabriel. Let me tell you why it's offensive. Prostitutes never embrace husbands. There's never a prostitute glad to see a true husband. Why? Exactly right, my brother. Because they're not buying. And we're buying the ways of what? The world, other gods. Which is, we even got raisin cake commercials. Cialis, how many of y'all have ever seen that?
I mean, I got a question on that commercial. If the stuff worked, why is there two tubs? Now, I don't want anybody to stand up and give testimony now, okay? But we're a nation hooked on sensuality. I mean, I want to show you how, watch this. We've even polluted the NFL football. I mean, NFL football was one of the last places you just, it's man's stuff. Just a man's game. At halftime, you had some ugly man telling you about the game. Football. A moment, a few hours where males can ask their wife with deep respect, "Would you please leave so I can watch this?" Monday night, God created sacred space for us to recover on Monday night. And then at halftime, you got some gorgeous woman, beautiful woman, skimpily clad, talking about the football game. There's more cuts to the cheerleaders today than there is the game. Because we turn to what? Raisin cake mentality. I want to be thrilled instead of loved. Poor Gomer, she was so hooked on being thrilled, she left who loved her to find another thrill. She went back to what she really wasn't because God loved her. Just like he loves Israel. And they turned to other God in sacred raisin cakes. And they were involved in sensuality, in worship other than God. Or look what he says. I'm going to buy her back. So look at this. I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. You say, well, man, is that a lot? Yeah, that's 430 pounds of barley. Silver worth a lot. No, I bought her back. Let me tell you why love works in Jesus Christ. Why I tell you the love of God is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Guess what? God bought us and sought us with his redeeming love. I remember that maybe we need to sing some of those songs again that talk about sought and bought in the blood of Jesus, in the power of the cross, in the empty grave, in the blood of the Lamb. Maybe that's what this nation needs to hear. God didn't come to tingle us. He came to redeem us. And he's never changed. He speaks into the First Testament with the hope of reconciliation that no matter how bad you think it is, because I want to end on this, Dave, so I want this to stick in your head. No matter how bad you think it is, it's not so bad that God can't bring you back. Somebody hearing that today, no matter how bad you have conceived it is, it's not bad enough that God can go get you. I thought about this as I was preparing this lesson. I said, if God had called me, Elizabeth had stepped out like this and she'd become a Gomer, and God had looked at me and said, Steve Ayers, go buy her back. I said, how much did she cost, Lord? She cost your master crab houseboat and your Harley. Now, I wish I could tell you all I'd go. Well, now, Lord, will you take something else, too? I said, watch it. I'm telling you, I promise you, I know if I was having that discussion. First thing, Mark, what would you ask the Lord if he said, Mark, go get Tina. She stepped out on you. She's in love with another man. What would you say? I know you don't want to think about it, but we're forced to think about it right now. I don't have to go there. Now, I just want to show you, see, and guess what? I might have thoughts like this. I mean, I wish I could tell you I wouldn't have these thoughts, but I might have a thought, she stepped out on another man. I have the ability to make sure there's not another man. See, I might have gone after him. He messed up too, but guess what? I'd have had some excuses. I'm just being honest with you. I'd have said, Lord, I don't know if you, maybe you've been asleep and you didn't see what she did, but she has betrayed me beyond understanding. Jose, go buy her. And watch this. Isn't it, Pastor Jamie? We talked about this week. Don't go pay cheap. See, some of y'all, if you went to buy her back, you'd be trying to work a deal. Why? Because the other prostitute would be bothering you. You would want a discount. How many of y'all would want to discount Gomer because she's messed up? Buying a used Gomer. No, hold on. Follow me here. Now, some of you are going, oh, my gosh, can't believe you're going there. No, I'm going there. Because I'm going to tell you what, people aren't cars. And no matter how many miles they got on them, and no matter how rough those miles were, we still got a God that buys us back. And the day you forget that at Hillview Heights Church, we've forgotten what God established us in. And that is for his hope that is the only place there's real hope, and that is in Jesus Christ, to reach down to where we are and to buy us back through the power of the cross and resurrection and his grace. All I know that will restore a human being, listen, is the grace of God. Now listen, I know some psycho concepts, and I'm not knocking those. I think that's a good thing. I think they help on the way to restoration, but the only thing that will restore you is the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you the absolute truth. We don't make a pill. We don't have a therapy situation. You can do insanity workout and you'll look really good, but you'll still be unloved. There is nothing but the blood of Jesus to redeem us back. Hosea, guess what? He does what God says because he's God's love to go buy her back. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man. And I will behave the same way towards you. He said, Gomer, we're going to leave this life of death and we're going to come into a life of hope. You to be with me. God has that same love for us. He says, I want you to be with me. Quit loving stuff that will not love you back. To me, this is a beautiful message, although a difficult message, Timmy, a beautiful message. God says, I will not write you off. I mean, can I preach just a minute? This is what God says. Guess what? We'll write each other off. Come on, right? We'll write each other off in a heartbeat. How many of y'all write each other off in a heartbeat? If there's ever a group of people that are as fickle as they can be, it's the United States of America. And if you don't believe me, I invite you, kind of like our local law enforcement, just come do a drive, have a ride around with a pastor for a week. And you'd be amazed at how many people leave instantly over stuff that doesn't matter. Well, I'm never coming back to a church because so-and-so didn't speak to me. What if they had laryngitis that day? Did you ever go talk to them? I mean, we're that self-absorbed. Guess what? Even some of you in this room right here believe that the church exists to please you today. That's a very Gomer mentality. And it'll get you in the wrong place. Hosea understood that his life was there to be an illustration of God's reality. So he went literally and bought her back and brought her back. And here's what God said, for the Israelites will live many days without a king or a prince. Boy, they have, haven't they? Watch this. Jim Britt, this is reality I'm reading today. This is not a history lesson. This is a current event. The Israelites will live many days without a king or a prince. And I pray for my Jewish friends that I love deeply. They got a king right in front of them and can't see him. They got the prophet of all prophets right in front of him and they can't see him. They got the redemption and the reconciliation of all that they've ever been looking for and they can't see him. Because they're still acting like Gomer. And we got to be careful because guess what? You and I do the same thing. We step out on God. How many of y'all have ever stepped out on God? Come on. Don't sit there all righteous on me and go, well, I've never done. Yeah. Every time we sell out, every time we step away, every time we say, well, I want to do it my way, every time we say, no, God, that isn't right, every time we deny a principle of God, we're stepping away from what we could be in Christ, aren't we? Let's get real. But then there's the reconciliation of the blood of the Lamb that comes to us. For Israel will live many days without a king or a prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without an ephod or household gods. Afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. I told you there's a king in the house. From the line of David, there will be one that comes. We say, has come and will come what? Again. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessing in the last days. Hold that hope. Have you learned something today? God, guess what? He'll never, 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 his love never, never, his love never, never gives up. And so I don't care how far you think you've walked away, I want to tell you something today in the name of Jesus Christ. He's already there. This is the hope of God's love. I've always believed this. God got to hell before I found it. I believe this with all my heart. Now, I can't give you every little text verse for this, but I'm just telling you. If Jesus paid our full penalty, then guess what? He didn't just die on a cross, but he descended where? Hell. And I believe Jesus stood at the gates of hell and rattled it. So Jesus got to hell before I would. And he loved me so much that he gave me a way that I don't have to get there, that I can come back. Two things, man. If you need to come back today, guess what I'm highly going to recommend by the love of Jesus? Come back. Because here's the love of God. It never runs out of hope. Isn't that neat? Greg is a daddy of three beautiful daughters. Aren't you glad that God's put his hope inside of you? Because girls, I'm going to tell y'all right now, even though y'all are young, he hopes you marry a guy of worth. That's the prayer of a daddy. In fact, he's praying right now, no bums allowed in his house. Anti-bum prayer. How many of you daddies ever prayed that? Hold on. When your little girl goes out of the house, your little girl goes out of the house. Now, your son, you hope he ain't a bum. But when your daughter goes out of the house, what do you hope she's married to? Man better be faithful. Man better be honest. Man better be a provider. Man better, he better love her like I love her. He better lift her up like I've lifted her up. He better not be speaking harshly to her. He better not be emotionally trying to control her. He better not be doing all that because guess what? It's my daughter. When God looks at his church, guess what? He says, come back. What I have to tell you is greater than where you'll hear elsewhere. Isn't that what the story of Hosea and Gomer's really about? United States of America, guess what? We've been a great place. We're a very young nation. We're a very young nation. We don't have it all figured out. We've been very cocky on some areas. Would you agree with that? We really do. Led Zeppelin messed us up. We think we can buy our way to heaven. We think we can buy our way out of immorality. We think we can buy our way out of sin. These are all, watch this. Right now, we're in $15 trillion worth of debt trying to find the love that only God can give. Now, I'll tell you, I'm going to be straight with you. Sin is expensive. Yeah. Principal Eric, if I could just take half the sin out of your school, how much would that save you per year? Look at Murley. He's already calculating on the other side of the church. But hold on. What if I ask, Jesus, please bring back that that's wandered off? And so let's go ahead and stand up because we got some things to deal with today at the altar. It's a tough message, man. It's a tough message. I've been Gomer more than once, wandered off, and there was God right in front of me the whole time with the love that brought hope. And I was feeling hopeless. Brad, I was feeling hopeless. Kind of like, hey, you and Timmy better bring some hope. Why? Y'all better bring some hope. They work in the grain industry, and right now what are a lot of farmers feeling? Hopeless. Some of them even mad at God. Where was the rain? Well, we never would like God to answer back when we get in one of those fits. You know what I mean? When we're really telling God how unfair it is, and if God just looks down and goes, why would you ask me for the rain? You hadn't seen me in 20 years. You haven't done anything I've asked you to do. You've never given your life to me, so why do you expect me to send a blessing to you? But since I'm not fair, but I'm just, I hadn't thumped you off the globe yet. And I hope you would come to grace. And I hope you would be saved. And I hope you'd be reconciled. And I hope you would live in the marriage of grace. It's a marriage. There was a preacher a long time ago, he wrote a book about that. The church is a bride. I know that guy. And one of the metaphors we've lost in the 21st century, this is not an organization. This is not a meeting place. This isn't just a group of people. This is a marriage in grace between an almighty God and a bunch of Gomers that have gone astray. And once we come together and we're no longer Gomers, we need each other in the church so we don't go back to that that kills us. And we stay with him who brings us life. Amen. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's seeking you today, just like Hosea. He said, well, is he going to buy me? He's already bought you. 2,000 years ago, our sin, our prostitution, our wandering away led God to send his only son, a king and a prince. A king of kings and a prince of peace. Ah, isn't that interesting? From the line, Jamie, of who? David. And he sent him to a cross, Mr. Smith, didn't he? He sent him to a cross because you and I couldn't make enough to pay off where we had been. His silver was 3 nails in his hands, in his wrist, and in his legs. His price of barley was a spear in his side, and the blood and the water poured forth, and the world has never been the same ever since. You say, who's that available for? Whosoever. Whosoever. I'm a John 3:16 guy. Whosoever shall, God will. And so I'm going to ask you just like Hosea asked Gomer. You won't come back home? Now, Gomer had to repent. He said, I'm going to bring you back home, and we're not going to be lit. We're not going to be loving other men. You're going to love me. That's grace. Lord, I'm tired of living like I've been living. I'd like for you to forgive me and come into my life, and now I want to live in a marriage under grace. How many of you all have done better under grace than you did under law? Sure. Me too. And so every morning's not, oh, God, am I going to mess up, but, oh, God, how do you love me? And I have found literally, and please don't be offended at this. This is literally, because this happened to Gomer. God Almighty is so loving, so precious. His love is so hopeful, Debbie, that gives away. God will love the hell out of you. And Hosea, great dancer, loved the hell out of Gomer, amen? And guess what? Even though you're young and you're cool and you got a lot of vibe and groove, one day you're going to have to love the hell out of somebody. And if you don't have Jesus, you can't do it. Now I'm going to hear, and I'm asking God right now, just speak our responsibility to the world. To him, we got to love the hell out of the world. Jim Martin's my brother who's co-labored in the gospel for, we've had a few decades under us, all right? But guess what? We got to love the hell out of the world with Jesus. Because they have gone astray. Jamie, when Jesus still looks out of that heavenly realm into us, he's got to have a tear every once in a while going, there's still sheep without a shepherd. They're still wandering into everything else but me. There's still that voice of Jesus that says, come on. Got me when I was 9 years old because he knew I was going to be a wild and woolly sheep. And there I was already sniffing around wolves. And Jesus took that hand of grace and grabbed the back of my neck and said, come on. And I went, bah! He said, come on. And I'm kicking and I'm dirty and my wool's all wrinkled. Even after I was baptized and saved, guess what? When I hit adolescence, there's some times Jesus had to come find me in the weeds. That's why I hope in God he knows where the weeds are. And he's in them before I get to them, calling me back to what? The house. Pray with me, Lord. Hope. We submit, God, and we confess, and we're very sorry. For centuries, we've tried to find hope in the economy, the fashion, our knowledge and educational prowess. We've, Lord, truly tried to find you in other gods. And once again, at this moment of history, you echo the truth. There is one God who is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And there is one way, and he is Jesus. So, Lord, I pray now that your grace, your truth, your purpose is speaking so clearly that there are those here today that will go, Lord, you're calling me to be saved. And they'd come here and just repent and leave their old life and embrace the new one. Others that need to be baptized, Lord, may they be faithful to declare your grace in their lives. Others today, Lord, that need to just come and pray and say, God, thank you for letting me come home again.
Thank you for letting me come home, what? Again. Thank you for that. All right, church. He's Lord. We're not. Altar's open. Come and see. Let God touch you. Let him love you. Let him speak into you. Come on right now. Let him hold you. Let him love you. Let him speak into you. Don't step away, but step into today. I don't know what time it is. I don't care. I know it's time for some to be saved, some to be baptized, some to be healed, and all of us to repent and come home. Come on, be reconciled. Be reconciled. Be reconciled. Be reconciled in Christ. Be reconciled. Thank you, Lord.